When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that's as big as a great white shark.
Oh, if it's white, go to the doctor.
you might be a bird.
Are you a bird?
Wait, hold on. Are you a bird?
Oh my God.
I thank you so much for listening. I don't know how our headphones fit in your tiny little ears. That was so cute as you're pooping everywhere.
Nice cloaca. I'm Mike Johnson.
I love that cloaca. I'm Kyle Getz.
We're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today, fasten your seatbelts.
Pigeons et al. We're talking about condoms.
We're talking about condoms.
This will be a very short episode with minimal discussion.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
Tell me everything you know about condoms.
This has been
great segment. Great segment.
Thanks so much for listening. I don't know. I've heard tell of them.
Yeah. The fabled condoms.
Some
of yore.
People, apparently you're supposed to keep them in your cupboard, in your refrigerator. I forget where.
Yeah.
Lettuce, tomatoes, condoms.
Excellent.
Yeah. You keep them cold so that when you put them on your dick, it's chilly. It's like an Arctic blast for your dick.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Isn't it? Oh, okay.
But first. Here's the news.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News. News. News.
First, we have an update.
Okay.
The continuing
saga.
Is this
news the first then?
No.
Okay. It's just first.
This is the update.
Okay. I get it. This is the update portion. You know.
I don't know, Kyle.
Okay. What's the update?
Don't use my pedantic nature against me.
Oh, but what else does it bring me if not joy in using it against
you?
Well,
that's true.
Okay. Is the update that I was right and you were wrong?
Yes.
Bam, ba-bam, bam, bam.
You were right. And I was wrong. The Dodgers have apologized and have reversed the ban on the group. I should have worn protection. The Dodgers apologize and have reversed.
Do you need me to do the news?
This,
hey, everybody. This is Kyle's news segment. The Dodgers have apologized and reversed their decision on the ban against the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who will now continue to receive their award at the Dodger Stadium for Pride Night.
That's correct.
Did I do it?
You did it great.
Oh, cool. I'll just make up the rest of the news. I don't know the rest of the news, but I can just make it up. 2, everything sucks. 3, it's still horrible. 4, some gay dude died.
Yep.
That's been the news.
That's the news. I'll read the Patreon supporters. Let's go. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. So we talked about it on last week's show, but the Dodgers have a Pride Night coming up, and they were going to give a community service award to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who are super important and have been doing awesome charity work, especially for raising money for HIV/AIDS. And then a bunch of Catholics flipped their shit because they said that they were like making fun of their religion and got the Dodgers to uninvite the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They clearly did not know who they were picking a fight with, because every fucking gay institution in Los Angeles County like came out and said, you are full of shit.
Yeah.
You horse fuckers.
Yeah.
So that's a new one.
Yeah.
And then
I love it.
So then Kyle had predicted that they would reverse that decision and invite them back. And I said, no, I thought that they had to double down.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah. To be fair, I forced you to make a decision. You didn't. You said you were going to say you didn't know.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So, then that's coming up on June 16th. So I guess there's still time for them to fuck it
for
up.
For something else maybe. To get fucked up again.
Oh, happy Pride, Kyle.
Happy Pride.
This is our first episode of Pride Month.
Is this coming out in Pride?
Yeah.
Oh, happy Pride. Fuck. We should have started with something Pride related.
Yeah.
We're not there yet ourselves, but our spirits.
Unless you're on Patreon listening a day early, in which case you have nothing to be proud of.
Oh, yeah. Sit in a corner and be shameful. It is not yet Pride for you. For everyone else, happy Pride.
Everyone else, happy Pride. Okay, so here's the thing. I do think that I was maybe a tiny bit right.
Okay, how?
In that the Dodgers have also suddenly announced that this year they will have the return of their Christian Faith and Family Day. So,
do we need... Okay, look. The point of Pride Night is... We are, I mean, marketing-wise, they're appealing to an audience that usually doesn't show up to their baseball games because gays don't give a fuck about baseball, mm-hmm. except with pants. Those are cute. But anyway, otherwise, we're doing things to raise awareness for groups that are under attack, minority groups, groups that need visibility, Christians and families. Like, y'all got, you have everything. You already have it. That's baseball. That's just go to a game and you're at Christian Family Night. Like,
yep.
This is already what baseball is. You have all the attention, all the rights in the country. You don't need added visibility.
Yeah, just go to Walmart. You're there. It's Christian
Night. Except Walmart still has their LGBT section.
Oh, shut your mouth. Oh, We're going to talk about that later.
This has been... A hint to the future.
So, yeah, coming up in July, July 30th at Dodger Stadium, they are going to have Christian Faith and Family Day, which is their star pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, who I don't care about, is their biggest fan. He tweeted, excited to announce the relaunch of Christian Faith and Family Day at Dodger Stadium on July 30th. More details to come, but we are grateful for the opportunity to talk about Jesus and determined to make it bigger and better than it was before COVID.
I did hear they'll have separate bathrooms just for priests to molest children.
Yeah.
Happy Christian Day.
Absolutely. Happy Christian Day.
Let's celebrate what makes us Christian.
Better
and
up.
And the more you think about it, the worse it gets.
Yep.
Christianity, everybody.
Okay. News the first.
Great.
News the first. This one's really, really awful, so buckle up for that. So there was the Olsztyn Equality March, which took place on the 20th of May in Poland. And that is a thing that they've been organizing for a while. You might remember, we've talked about it on the show before, that Poland is not exactly doing great when it comes to LGBT issues. They famously have had LGBT free zones that they've declared. So it's a heightened sense of danger there for LGBT people, but they have this equality march. And apparently after the parade, a woman was walking home with a rolled up pride flag under her arm, and she was shot in the head with a BB gun.
Holy shit.
So, and I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because the intent was not to kill her.
Right.
The intent was to send a message and dehumanize,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
injure at least and scare the shit out of her. And yeah.
Yeah. The victim suffered minor head injuries, was checked over in hospital before being released. The case was reported to police, but the perpetrator has not yet been found. Willing to bet that they will never find that person because the police have to give a shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Equality March organizers released a statement saying, quote, "This is an attack on all of us. Even if the police refuse to see a link between the shooting and the Equality March, we explicitly condemn this attack as an act of violence directed toward the entire LGBTQIA+ community and its allies. This is what we face all over Poland, including I don't know how to say that city's name, Kyle. Olsztyn. This is our home, and we have the right to feel safe here. You will not intimidate us." There's only one vowel in that name, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Polish language loves every consonant, especially Z's and V's and K's, like all in a row.
Yep. ILGA Europe has rated Poland as the worst EU nation for LGBTQ plus rights. Comes in last out of 27 countries ranked based on how their laws and policies impact the lives of LGBTQ plus people.
Ew.
So first of all, thanks for having this equality march. Clearly it's a place where that is needed.
Yeah.
Sorry about the BB gun to the head. That's not so great.
Yeah.
Also very glad that this isn't like a murder fatality situation for us to be reporting on.
Yeah.
Poland, get your shit together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like people are like, you rub it in our faces, like you're, and it's like someone's just walking home, like with a rolled up pride flag under her arm, like it's just walking home.
Yep, just walking home, being
just
a human.
Yeah.
News the second.
Great.
Houghton University in Western New York has fired two former dormitory directors. That is a small Christian university. And they said it's simply because they refused to remove their pronouns from their email signatures.
What?
Yeah. Schwa Wilmot and Reagan Zelaya, who have unconventional names, and that's their defense for why they included their pronouns. I'll go into that in just a little bit. But yeah, Wilmot goes by he, him pronouns. Zelaya goes by she, her pronouns. So the university implemented a new policy for email formats in September, indicating that they should not include any adornment to your name, like pronouns.
Adornment.
So Wilmot said, my name is Schwa. It's an unusual name, and it ends with a vowel, A, that is traditionally feminine in many languages. If you get an email from me and you don't know who I am, you might not know how to gender me. So he puts he. Plus, everybody should put their fucking pronouns. It is so easy to do. And pisses off the right people and indicates your support to people who need support.
Yeah.
Like it's,
yeah.
Please just do it.
Yeah.
There are similar controversies that are going on. One right here in our own backyard. There are 16 plaintiffs that are suing Seattle Pacific University, which is a Christian liberal arts college less than a mile from here, that the school has an employment policy that bars people that are in same-sex relationships from any full-time job on campus.
Damn.
In New York City, LGBTQ students are challenging Yeshiva University's decision to bar their student-run club from campus. We've talked about that before. They are being even more freaked out and bold and horseshit about things because God. And yeah. It's so stupid.
Yeah. These people didn't know what pronouns were like a year ago, and yeah. Now they hate them. And it's one of those things where it's like, no one, like, we will not share like what our gender is. And then you're like, okay, Mr. Smith, like, what do I call you now? Do I just call you Smith? And then I saw like someone that was trying to pass some dumb law about talking about sexual orientation and was like, okay, when I talk about George Washington, who was he married to? Can I not talk about her?
Right.
That's people. They don't register that sex. They themselves have a sexual orientation. They themselves have a gender identity. They have that pronouns exist and we use them all the time.
Well,
they
don't obviously, we don't mean the normal one, Kyle.
We don't mean the normal one. We mean the weird one, like you people. Yeah, exactly. It's just so frustrating because you use pronouns all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're just now picking up on if you put this in your email that signature that means I support trans people, and everything is about just attacking trans people right now.
Yep. It 100% is. And I'm so, so sorry.
It sucks.
News the last. It's not going to get better, Kyle. It's just the hits keep on coming. Okay. But let's talk about Target.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to go back and listen. I apparently didn't talk about it on the show last week at all. You sort of did, but
No. I someone mentioned. I mentioned like, oh, I think it's great when Rachel from our Queer Jews episode mentioned like it's great when I go into, and I forget if she actually said a place, but I used the example of in Target that I see rainbow colors, and that shows like that there's something cool and useful about that, even though it's coming from a place of corporate greed. Like it's still a cool thing to see.
Well, apparently Target has made the decision to remove some of its Pride merchandise in light of threats the company received. Target announced this week, quote, "We're removing items that have been at the center of the most significant confrontational behavior." So customers have antagonized Target workers, damaged merchandise displays, made threats via social media, and they're relenting by removing the most controversial of the items. The right wing is really focused on a tuck-friendly swimsuit, saying that it was being marketed to children. It's clearly identified as being for adults, but they're also objecting to merchandise from trans designer Eric Carnell. Some of his products feature skulls, demons, and other scary images, but Target wasn't carrying those, instead selling tote bags and sweatshirts from the designer with pro-LGBTQ+ slogans. The Target employees in the South told Business Insider that the company has quit marketing some trans-focused Pride items and that the tuck-friendly swimwear is no longer available. In some stores, Pride displays have been moved from the front of the store to less prominent areas. So between this and Anheuser-Busch and the Bud Light stuff, they're losing their goddamn minds, this Pride, Kyle.
Yeah.
Fucking straight people, get your shit together.
Yeah.
Go attack a fellow straight person.
If you want to attack anyone this Pride, attack another straight person.
I want some straight-on-straight violence in the Pride section of Target.
I mean, it's really frustrating because this is exactly the issue with corporate pride is that its foundation is not rooted on the equal treatment of all LGBT people and working towards achieving that end goal. When it is threatened, what we have to do is, well, we can't stop being gay and we can't stop fighting for our equality, so we have to stick by our morals and what we believe. Whereas when Target is attacked, what they're going to look at is, how does this affect my money and my ability to employ people, and you know, which helps us make money and all that stuff. And so it will cave because the root reason this is coming up is very different. So this is we're seeing the downsides of corporate pride. We have to know that it is temporary. It is built upon the idea of money and it doesn't actually care that much about LGBT rights.
I will also say, I was in this like bubble that said that we had made it.
Yeah.
That we had reached a point in our society and our culture where gay people, even if not everybody was on board, that we had arrived on the stage in a place where companies had to back us at least for June.
Yeah.
Right. And that has been shattered this year, right? Like between the Dodgers and Bud Light and Target and whatever else is going on out there in the universe. Apparently not. Right. Like a big enough of a stink, which apparently the right is willing to make this year. It's no longer a slam dunk. It's no longer like a for sure thing that we're going to be supported.
Yeah.
And that's a wake up call. I hope that's a wake up call to every queer person that listens to this show. Like, it's we're taking huge, giant, massive steps backward.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
The parts of our community. Gender nonconformity seems to be the central pillar, whether that's drag queens or trans people or Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Like, gender nonconformity is being brought into the like limelight of attack. And so we need to be sure that with the rights and social understanding and laws that gay people have gained, that this is the time where all those people who have often been at the forefront of fighting for our rights in history.
Yep.
That we continue to show that we are all together in this, that you're attacking everyone when you do that, that we, like, it would be very easy to want some groups just want to break off and be like, no, like gays and lesbians, we'll just keep plugging along. And it's like that can't happen.
Yep.
So now is the time to like double down efforts and support for those in our community that need it most. And in, you know, previously we've seen it, people of color and black people being attacked even within our group, within our community, and we need to continue to look out for those that are at most risk of attack. And
the murder rate for trans women of color was astronomical even before this year, when the right wing crazies got crazier.
Yep, absolutely.
Great. Happy Pride, Kyle.
Happy Pride, Mike.
That's the news.
Speaking of none of that, because we're happy now.
Speaking of segues,
I want to ride on over to the following Patreon member. Thank you to Jay Louvière. Thank you for supporting us.
JL
for supporting us. If you want episodes a day early, ad-free episodes, bonus content episodes, bonus video, merch stuff, go to gayishpodcast.com. Nope, you can go there and it'll be fun, but you should also go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Yeah, do it. Do you want to talk about condoms, Kyle?
Let's talk about condoms. Let's find something to talk about condoms. So, when was the last time you used a condom, Mike?
For dick purposes?
What? No, now I want to know what the last time you used it, regardless.
Wouldn't you like to know, Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
No, last time I used a condom...
water balloon fight? What? I'm trying to think of what else you could use them for.
Like a year ago?
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
You know, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Boy, it was the spring of 2011. I don't know. I did use one not too long ago with someone that was like...
Preferred that?
Yeah. So like within the past year, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, I think It's really interesting because I feel a sense of personal responsibility, and like I want to be a good role model and do the like do as I say, don't do as I do thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not super great at using condoms. Yeah. And I'm guilty of what I think a lot of gay men are guilty of, which was like PrEP came out and now the HIV is off the table. Everything else, give me penicillin, I'm fine. Yeah. And go, you know, raw dog. And yeah, that's not,
well, we'll
that's
talk
not
a little
great.
Bit, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Great. Okay.
About whether that's true, but I think there's both our personal, like, yeah, I don't necessarily want people to do what I do because it's not great, but like, let's talk about why that is and some of the risks that we are taking, because I want other people to make their own decision, but also knowing what the risks are. I think there's, it's misleading to think like, oh yeah, I could just maybe get, you know, chlamydia and that's it. Like, there are a lot of other stuff, even if it's not HIV, that you can get. Like
syphilis, herpes, gonorrhea, monkeypox.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. There's plenty of other things that you are risking by not using condoms, and
like getting your heart broken.
Oh, there's no condom for your heart.
Break hearts, not condoms, everybody.
Wrap up your heart.
Yeah.
Next time, before you have sex, wrap up your heart, everybody.
Oh, God.
It's the most likely thing to get syphilis.
great. Believe it or not, that kind of is a good segue into the history of condoms.
Sure,
Kyle,
okay,
you're talking about the history of condoms first.
Okay.
So according to Etym Online, one of my very favorite sites, I use it a lot. Etymology online.
Got it.
We're not exactly sure where the word condom came from. So there's a theory that it came from a British physician during the reign of Charles II. That story was traceable back to 1709, but there's no evidence that that person actually existed. Like, Dr. Condom was not a person.
Dr. Condom, the worst superhero. Hey, kids, I shoot condoms out of my eyeballs. And they're like, we don't use that. So you're really pointless, Dr. Condom.
The word condom is not in the original OED from 1890. So it was fairly uncommon until recently. And it also, some variations on the spelling of it over the years suggest that it might be from the Italian word guantone or guanto, which means glove.
Oh.
Yeah. And apparently, like, there's a measurable spike in usage in November of 1986 in a speech by Surgeon General C. Everett Koop on AIDS prevention and the importance of condoms in AIDS prevention. Hmm. Usually it was called prophylactic or a preventative. Before that, in like medical terminology, advertising, that kind of stuff. And not to say that like it was not used at all, it's just especially in mass media, there's this like the Surgeon General goes out and talks about the importance of condoms when it comes to HIV AIDS, and all of a sudden people are saying the word condom and writing it down more often.
That would make sense to me, that AIDS could have had an influence on how we talk about
100%
safer sex.
Yeah. Speaking of other names for condoms, I found a whole list and I'm super excited about them. Love glove, or no glove, no love.
Yep. Dick dam.
Raincoat.
Raincoat. Yep.
Bubble wrap.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Party hat.
How about Jimmy cap?
Jimmy or Johnny.
Okay. Johnny.
Yep. Rubber.
Usually when Johnny's on my dick, it's... he has a last name too.
Airbag, schlong sarong, because it's a wrap.
I guess so.
But I did not realize this, and I'm super happy about it. The original meaning of scumbag was used condom. Like, that insult comes from the bag you keep your scum in. Like,
ew, do people call cum scum?
Apparently so. At least in this yeah.
Scumming me, daddy.
Oh God. Oh no. No.
Give me that scum.
Stop it.
Scum me.
Stop it. Oh no.
Shoot that scum on my face.
Like now I watch a lot of cooking shows and they're always boiling meat and talking about skimming the scum off the top, and now I'm just gonna imagine it's just bubbly jizz.
I've never heard anyone call jizz scum.
Apparently that used to be fairly common, and that's why scumbag became an insult.
I like cumbag.
Cumbag?
As another word for condom. That makes sense to me.
Okay, now to the history of condoms. So condoms for sure go back a few centuries. And before the 15th century, there was some use of what are called glans condoms, which are devices that only cover the head of the penis.
Oh.
And that leads to the idea that they were for birth control, not for preventing STIs.
Oh, and there's got to be some overflow.
There's got to be some overflow. Well, and also apparently they would come off pretty easy.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of them had a ribbon that they would
tie it with a little bow.
Yeah.
Tie that scumbag with a little bow.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. So they were most prevalent before the 15th century in Asia and were probably used only by members of the upper classes. In China, condoms just for the head of the penis were, they found them that were made out of oiled silk paper or lamb intestines. In Japan.
Is that because they were the ones that could afford that kind of thing? Or,
correct.
Or it also seems like maybe education among, like, I'm trying to like connect that to thinking about like what would connect to today's use in condoms.
Yeah.
Like,
I might get this wrong because I didn't write it down, but, it is certainly at least partially about cost. Even after more or less modern times, like Industrial Revolution time, there was one anecdote I read that said that sex workers couldn't afford condoms because a condom would cost approximately a month's wages.
Holy shit.
And so, yeah.
God, that lamb bladder that you use must be super. You'd have to go kill the lamb yourself.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You'd have to pretend that you hadn't named him at the time. Right, yeah. Good night, Cheryl.
Oh, no.
Goodbye.
Oh, my God, Kyle.
I'll always love you. Give me that bladder sack so I can wear it on my dick.
Oh, my God, Kyle.
You scumbag.
Now, whether the first, absolutely no one denies it. It is for sure condoms. The way we think of condoms being used was in 16th century Italy, in a book called De Morbo Gallico, which it translates as The French Disease, which is what they called syphilis.
Holy shit.
It was published in 1564. And it was written by, and I shit you not, this is a real person that I learned about today, Gabriele Fallopio. For whom the fallopian tubes are named.
Tubular.
Yeah, exactly. He, in this book, claimed to have invented the condom, a device made of linen sheaths soaked in a chemical solution and allowed to dry before use.
They were not called condoms though at that time, right? Because you said it wasn't until like the 80s that we...
Correct.
Spikes. Okay.
Correct. These were one of those that were held on with a ribbon. Fallopio claimed to have performed an experimental trial of the linen sheath on 1,100 men and reported that none of them had gotten syphilis.
God, I would love to fuck 1,100 men for science.
Thanks, Mr. Fallopio.
Man, really doing your work.
So that's like for sure, at least in Western society, like the origin. But there are a lot of historians that say that there are signs going back even further. Archaeologists and historians have found some things that they point to that say like even ancient societies were like using condom or condom like things. One that I thought was super interesting is there is a Greek myth about Minos, who was a king of Crete, son of Zeus and Europa. And Antoninus Liberalis in 150 AD wrote it down. And they said that they think it indicates that condoms were a thing that people knew about because it wasn't weird to them that in this story, he was cursed and the curse made his jizz contain serpents and scorpions. So
Medusa's dick.
But he couldn't not have sex. So he used a goat bladder as a condom.
Oh, he used a goat bladder to catch the serpents.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. We've been demonizing sex for so long.
I guess so. But I don't know. I don't know necessarily. I think I'm on the side of the scholars that are like, that doesn't mean that people were using condoms in the second century.
Oh.
Like,
yeah, the idea of like, you got to protect the stuff that comes out of you. That seems, I could see that.
Well, okay, before, a curse where scorpions come out of your dick? Like, that's some metal shit.
Yeah. Ow.
Ow.
Pinch.
I think I would stop having sex.
But I mean, how can one? Is it possible to stop having sex at all?
I mean, this is a good point.
No, I don't know. If I jizzed scorpions, I probably would cut it off.
Anyway, so they may have been used before this, but using the cecum or the intestines of lamb or sheep is still a thing that happens. But condoms are also, they started being made out of rubber, and which that made them a more economical choice.
So they didn't cost a month's salary anymore?
Right, yeah, exactly. But also, apparently, originally, rubber condoms were prized for their reusability.
What? They would just wash it off?
Wash it out, and then put it back on. And skin condoms offered better sensitivity, because rubber condoms at the initial stage were pretty thick, and that's what made them reusable. Mm. But they also didn't feel as good. I learned that and then they started making them out of latex in the 20s, and then by 1931 they were issuing condoms to all members of the U.S. military, because
they're like, free healthcare, hey, yeah. we did it, America.
But that's also interesting, because distribution of condoms in the United States was limited by passage of what are called the Comstock Laws, one of which was a federal act that banned the mailing of contraceptive information. There were also state laws that banned the manufacture or sale of condoms in 30 states.
Hmm.
We had some weird ideas in the late 19th century.
Is that the thing, like, if it's not to make a baby, then we hate it?
Yeah. Yep. In Ireland, the 1889 Indecent Advertisements Act made it illegal to advertise condoms. Contraceptives were illegal in 19th century Italy and Germany. There's a theme here, though, that we need to talk about, which is goddamn fucking Catholics, Kyle. As early as the 1600s, in 1605, in De Justitia et Jure, which is on justice and law, Leonardus Lessius, a Catholic theologian, said that condoms are immoral. They go against God in his tantamount mission for mankind to spread their seed. And condoms are bad, don't use them. And yeah, the Catholic Church has never changed that even a little bit ever since. So, like, all kinds of contraception are banned under Catholic dogma, but and that includes condoms, but they've been doing that for a really long time. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fucking Catholics.
It's so surprising. Like, I feel like churches have started to have to make concessions or change their opinions. I thought they were starting to get there on gay and lesbian issues. Like, yeah. I feel like they've started to make progress, or realize they had to. They're a business that is realizing that with declining membership, they have to do something.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense then that, actually, as I'm saying that, to keep membership up, continuing to say you can't use a condom makes sense.
Yeah.
Because then you will have more, especially as, you know, more, less and less people have kids.
Yeah.
If the ones that are having kids are the Catholics.
Yep. Or the Mormons, but yes.
Or the Mormons, yes. Then that's actually helpful to them. So, yeah, I guess this is one to hold on to.
Well, the Catholic Church almost certainly was a major influence on the fact that a lot of condoms were illegal from the late 19th century in the United States until the 60s.
That's the sticking point, is it always then turns into, and no one else can use them either.
Right.
It's not just, we don't believe them. It's, and we don't believe in them, or we don't like this thing. It's that, and everyone else has to dislike it too.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. God damn it.
Let's have a condom night at the Dodger Stadium.
Let's do it, Kyle.
Yeah.
It's
condom night. We'll have to figure out where you find condoms.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's more or less the history of condoms. They've been around for, at the very least, like 400 or 500 years, possibly longer than that. And they were made out of all kinds of stuff. And yeah, that's it. That's the history of condoms.
Do you want to hear some gata on condoms?
Let's hear some gata on condoms. It's going to say, we don't use them, gays. I don't know.
We'll see. I should ask you, yeah, what's your kind of theories on gay men's condom use?
My theory is that it has changed, and that it has changed since PrEP. I'm going to guess that before PrEP, so pre-2008, somewhere in there, that it was much, much higher than it is now, and that now is probably like less than 20%. But that's just me being a slut.
And I think that's people's general stereotype is that gay men have a lot of sex, don't use condoms, and PrEP has made them particularly risky at no condom use.
Yeah.
That's not totally true.
Okay,
so
great.
A 2016 article from AIDSMap.com talked about...
I know you don't believe this, but I love being wrong.
Oh, no, I believe that.
Okay.
I believe that. I believe, like, you more than most people would, like... You just need to know the information, and then you're okay changing whatever view you have. Most people, like, have this kind of fight with themselves that, like, no, but I want to be right. And I believe you have a far lower, like, you just want the data and the truth.
Yeah. Now give me this fake news, Kyle.
From AIDSMap.com, they talked about the fact that condom use among men who have sex with men has been declining even before PrEP.
Oh, okay.
So it's there's and they don't know exactly why, but
maybe HIV treatment options, because those also got way better before PrEP. Like, you know, AZT was out like the late 80s, early 90s, and we just got better at treating it ever since. Maybe that maybe it's more gradual, but that's why.
Maybe it's less scary.
Yeah.
The idea of,
it definitely didn't feel like a death sentence anymore at some point.
Right. Yeah, 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 anyway, absolutely. Mm. So the stat they showed was HIV negative men reporting sex without a condom. So the CDC, this is based on CDC research that asked whether a condom was used with their last anal sex partner. Mm. And I'll go through time. 2005, 29% reported that the last time they had sex was without a condom.
Okay.
In 2008, it was 33%.
Mm-hmm.
So jumped up by 4 percentage points. In 2011, it was 35%.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, it was 41%.
Mm-hmm.
So the... Are you getting hornier as the numbers go higher? More men to have sex without a condom with. So over time, it increases the number of like people that they asked whose last sex was without a condom. And it kind of is a few percentage points each time that they ask that it's been increasing. They also mentioned that PrEP... In 2014, at least, which is the last date that I mentioned, it was at 41% reported sex without a condom. In 2014, 3.5% of men were using PrEP. So
3.5?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of men, not queer men.
Good question. I don't know. Either way, it was a super low number of... I think this was all about men who have sex with men, so that's what I would guess, but I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But there is a very low... penetration of PrEP use within even when some of these numbers started coming out. I mean, you mentioned 2008 as just your rough guess, and even before that, it was still going up.
Yeah.
And because that data is from 2016, the trend, another article, a lot of the data I found was, you know, around this time or earlier. So the Guttmacher Institute, oh God, I want to get Guttmacher. Guttmacher me. The Guttmacher, I don't know. The Guttmacher Institute published a report in April 2021 documenting that the trends around safe sex from 2006 to 2019, so that continued 5 more years after what I said, and found that contraceptive use overall had increased, but condom use had continued to decline over time.
Oh, that's fucking interesting.
The trend continues even past this. There was like, that was in a BuzzFeed article that talked about even like through the pandemic, like that this trend continued. So the greatest increase in sex without condoms was seen in young men age 18 to 24.
Great.
So
you're welcome, boys.
Is it because you're fucking those 18 to 24 year olds?
Yeah. It's been a great couple of years, Kyle.
You don't
Daddy.
You don't need a condom. Daddy says no. I fit in like so I started having sex around the middle of this date at like what, 2009 or something. I'm at the early part of this, and so yeah, I used a condom the first time I had sex, but then did not regularly use a condom even back when I was having sex, which was in college, which was before PrEP. And yeah. And I was age 18 to 24. Like, I don't know. It makes sense to me that that group is at a higher risk, and that around this time, like, I fit in with these numbers of, I was probably one of those people that was not as likely to use condoms and contributed to the increase of condomless sex.
Mm, 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 mm.
So we talked about there are a variety of reasons to use condoms, and HIV is the main one that we bring up, but there are a lot of other reasons to. However, I think it's still important, especially because we are talking about HIV, that we talk about Black men who have a unique... A 2017 study from the CDC said that one in every two Black men in the U.S. will get HIV in his lifetime.
What?
Yeah.
50%?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So according to
is this still MSM or is this like anybody?
It said two gay Black men, one in every two gay Black
gay
men.
Gay Black men. Okay. Great. Great.
Yeah. But a 2014 Reuters article said that according to our data, this is a quote from someone else, according to the Journal of Sexually Transmitted Infections, condoms may be used more frequently by Black men, men who have sex with men, but they're also used less effectively and with more errors.
Mm.
So it seems to be that Black men have gotten this message and are using condoms more, which is great, but there are issues with them breaking or slipping or not being used correctly. Apparently 31% of Black men said their condoms worked effectively compared to 43% of white men. And Black men who have sex with men are about 6 times more likely to be diagnosed with HIV compared to white men who have sex with men. Some of the reasons for this are thought to be, and we don't totally know everything, increased prevalence of HIV among Black men, lack of access to treatment and prevention services.
Yeah, that's my guess.
That would make a lot of sense, yeah. That we don't care as much about the areas of the country that are predominantly Black, that we give them less access to resources and care less about making sure there's a hospital or making sure there's healthcare, or making sure there's even food or, you know.
Well, yeah. And our healthcare system's so fucked up. It's so fucking expensive. And like, people of color make less money because the world's fucking stupid.
Yep. Yep. Other reasons, stigma, discrimination. But they say that condom breaks and improper condom use may also play a role. If more of them are reporting issues with using condoms, then that could be a contributing factor. So how does this compare to straight people? So the last data point I had was 2014 for gay people. At least in 2014, it was 41% said that they had sex without a condom in their last sexual encounter. So actually backing up to that, like, I don't know, maybe if we stop right there, then that's still a majority that reported. That means 59% said that they did use a condom with their last anal sex encounter.
Yeah.
So that already, that idea bucks the stereotype that like every gay man is having condomless sex all the time.
Yeah.
If the trend continues like it is, a few percentage points every year, we might be closer to 50-50 these days. Like if we just draw a straight line with the numbers that we're seeing, but it's still not like an overwhelming majority or anything that are going condomless, which I think. So I think even if the numbers have increased since that 2014 number, I still think it goes against the stereotype that people have.
So I'm a bad person. Thanks for that, Kyle.
Yeah, no problem. Gayish. We learn where we're bad people. No, I think you have the same assumption that a lot of people do.
Yeah. I'm also fighting the human tendency to do exactly what we said earlier and be like, well, maybe they're lying. Maybe they're saying they're using condoms when they're really not.
Yeah.
I want it to be true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And there's like... people lie. They also did this survey at like gay clubs and places that gay men hang out. Like, so there may be like, you know, there are a lot of reasons that the numbers themselves may not be totally true.
Yes, I totally use condoms all the time. I don't use condoms.
But boys. I use condoms all the time and I love them.
Don't tell my judgy friends that right over there.
So then at that point, if, you know, we're asking about that, we're still looking at the year over year data that shows the increase. So presumably the same percentage of people will lie, or the, you know, like as long as we're doing consistent format, then we can at least compare the numbers. Speaking of what we cannot compare, a completely different study though, is what I'll share, at least for straight people, because, you know, all studies have different methodologies and the numbers. So the numbers themselves can't be compared, but I just wanted to get a ballpark of where straight people are at with this. So there was a 2017 research study about straight people called Factors Associated with Condom Use Among Sexually Active U.S. Adults, National Survey of Family Growth. And of course, when they say among active U.S. adults and a national survey, they mean straight people.
Sure. Because yeah.
that's the default. If you don't see gay in the headline of the research article, they're not going to include gay people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
are they going to exclude gay people?
Oh yeah. In this one, they did exclude. They just looked at single men and single women.
That's what the Alanis Morissette song Uninvited is about.
Gay men in surveys?
Keeping them out of surveys, yeah.
That would make sense. Play that during every Gata segment I do. So for unmarried or single men that reported using a condom during their last sexual encounter, it was 51%.
Oh.
51% used a condom in their last sexual encounter.
Great.
And these are straight. They excluded the gays, so these are...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Straight men. For unmarried and single women who reported using a condom during their last sexual encounter, it was 37%.
Wow.
Wow.
That surprises me.
Me too. Why did it surprise you?
I just think of girls as being more responsible.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then I guess there's also this bullshit, like, patriarchy, whatever, that, like, the dudes are in charge. Like the men are supposed to bring the condoms and decide whether they're being used or not. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's part of, especially in my earlier days, that was part of my struggle, is like having the assertiveness. Like women have been set up and trained not to be like, if you're assertive, you're a bitch. So like if you, during any kind of sexual encounter, are asserting any kind of, and
boundary it's not whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm using the word assert, but like stating, not this, that you're being rude or mean or anything about it. If you just state a boundary, like you said,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Then that would be grounds for like, I can't believe what she did, man. Like, yeah. But anyway, yes. So I'm also surprised. The other thing I thought is maybe women know that they have to take matters into their own hands, especially for pregnancy, and maybe they're less likely to have used them because they're like, well, I know I got my pregnancy sitch figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a man sleeping with a woman doesn't know what she's been doing,
yeah,
or not
yeah.
doing or what have you. So maybe they're more likely to be like, no, for my, like, that's the thing they can do for their own personal, you know, safety of not getting pregnant.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So that was my other idea. But yeah, even straight people bucked the trends or the stereotypes that I had for them.
Huh.
And again, like, we can't compare these numbers, but it's like, so 51% of single men, like, all of these are like, we're not too far away then from.
Yeah.
Like, our condom use doesn't seem to be too far away from each other.
It's so interesting because, like, the two big value propositions of condoms are the prevention of STIs and the prevention of pregnancy. And cis gay dudes, anyway, that's not going to pregnancy is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I would think that would, like, with a whole use case out of the picture, I would think that would skew things way more than apparently they do.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, even if, again, like, while we can't compare these numbers directly, like, I don't know. If we did, it would say straight people.
Say that with more derision. Straight people.
Straight people. People of the straight persuasion. I want to talk about it like the way they talk about people whose preference is to be straight.
Yeah, people struggling from opposite sex attraction.
People who deal with the affliction of being straight. It says that they use condoms less than us.
Yeah.
So I again, like, we can't actually compare the numbers, so I don't know that for sure, but it's funny that even that concept is like mind blowing, that no one yeah. would believe. If you just told a random gay person and said, hey, gays use condoms more than straight people, they would be like, fuck you. No, they don't.
Yeah.
No gay uses a condom. And so maybe it's that we've learned, we showed, especially I think during monkeypox, that our response to health crises is better than straight people on the whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the hole. With the scumbag, without the scumbag. So maybe we are, because of, even though it hasn't, maybe some of the effects are fading away, our response to the AIDS crisis, like, maybe there's still increased condom usage because of that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's likely or possible.
Yeah.
I really keep coming back to HIV AIDS as being like, it has to be a big factor here.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And so if so, that would make sense that the further away you get from it, the less and less people that lived through it
yeah.
and saw all the, you know, everything that it wrecked on the society, like it could make sense that then people are less kind of moved by that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. Those are the numbers.
Those are the numbers. Well, we're going to talk about more numbers.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're going to talk about condom sizes.
Oh.
And I know that you've got some more stuff later on, like the right way to use a condom.
Yeah.
But,
put it in the trash. No, use it maybe if you want. I don't know. I'm not your mom.
Medical News Today, which is a site that I found, talks about condom sizing, and they say that condoms that are too small may break, condoms that are too big can slip off, and poor fitting condoms can feel uncomfortable during sex. So the people that are like, I don't like the way that it feels, might be onto something. But the people who say it isn't going to fit are wrong. Like, your dick is not too big for a condom because I can put a condom over my entire head. That's not saying.
And now for the Patreon segment, Mike will be placing.
I'll do that. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, all right. Let's put. We have. Ooh, this is some ASMR shit.
Yeah.
That's the sound of condoms rubbing together. I bought condoms at the store. I didn't buy condoms at the store. I was just trying to do an ASMR thing.
According to the Cleveland Clinic, the average erect penis length is about 5 inches. Average girth is around 4.5 inches when erect. That's circumference. And so the Food and Drug Administration, and they're the ones that regulate condoms as a medical device, say that the minimum length for external condoms is 160 millimeters. That's 6.3 inches.
Wait, the minimum?
Yes, they have to be at least that long, because the idea is then they will fit like 85% of the population in terms of length.
But if you have an average length dick, then it won't fit you?
You'll just have a little bit left over at the bottom, which is actually ideal, I guess, apparently. I don't know, you're the one that's going to talk about using them. That leaves some room for the condom to remain rolled at the base for an average-sized penis. Trojan brand, for example, says that their standard condom is the proper fitting choice for a penis between 5 and 7 inches long with a girth of 4 to 5 inches, which, if you look at, like, actual data about this, there are no 10-inch dicks, everyone. Stop adding me.
You're wrong.
It's like, okay. I'm open to evidence-based.
You're not.
I am.
Okay. No, you're not.
But if you look at the bell curves, that fits like the vast majority of men. So, quote, for the vast majority of people, standard sizes are appropriate, but everyone's anatomy is different. It's best to read the information from that specific condom manufacturer for their guidance on how to determine the best fit for you. And that information should be readily available on the packaging. I kind of liked this. It's kind of like picking out a pair of jeans. Sure, there's no shortage of pairs that'll cover you from hip to ankle, but you may find certain brands or certain cuts to be more comfortable. Maybe you're the straight leg type, or perhaps boot cut is more your jam. Nothing wrong with being a little choosy. A properly fitted condom will cover your penis snugly, but not too tightly from tip to base, with a half-inch reservoir at the tip. If for some people, that may leave an extra bit of rolled condom at the base, and that's okay. And some people prefer that feeling, like a little cock ring. But if it doesn't reach to the base of your penis near your stomach, that's a clear sign to try a bigger size.
Yeah.
So running out of condom and you're not all the way down, that's maybe, you know. Congratulations. move up.
If you have extra, like, little rolled up part at the base, you can just stick those balls in too.
Oh yeah,
just shove them balls right in there.
Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You got extra.
Yeah, otherwise it's wasteful.
Use all of your condom. It's like finishing your vegetables. Use all the condom you have. There are some kids in name a country here that don't get any condoms.
Right. Yeah.
Use all your condom.
Ukrainian soldiers don't have condoms.
Exactly.
You should. Yeah, no leftovers.
No leftover condom.
Back to Medical News Today. So
to actual information.
In general, length is less of a problem than girth in terms of finding condoms that are fit appropriately.
Finding butts that fit appropriately, too.
They divide condom brands into snug fit, regular fit, and large fit.
Oh, I love snug fit. Like this one's going to be cozy.
Yeah. A girth of less than 4.7 inches needs a snug fit. 4.7 to 5.1 needs a regular regular fit and 5.126 needs a large fit. And they say to do that measurement by taking either string and marking it or using a tailor's tape around the thickest part of the shaft, wherever that is. For most men, that's somewhere in the middle. And then they offer, you know, their choice of brands that fit each of those three categories. Last thing about sizing, and then you can tell us about technique. Reuters did a story back in 2009. Yeah, April of 2009, where covering a study by the Institute of Condom Consultancy.
Oh, sure.
Where they asked 10,000 men in 25 countries to measure their penis and put the number into a database and then try to use that to, you know, figure out the proper distribution of condom sizes for manufacturers. Now, it's, of course, self-reported.
Yeah.
And that's very problematic in the history of, like, penis sizes. Mm-hmm. But they said, according to this sample, the French said that they needed the largest condoms.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Greeks get by on smaller ones. And I guess Germans are somewhere in the middle there. They also were using the survey sort of as a push poll to educate youngsters about the importance of effective contraception. This place is hilarious. They offer online condom size advice, and they have an annual fair, or at least they did back in 2009, an annual fair called Pimp Your Condom. In cooperation with the National AIDS Trust.
Is that like Bejeweled and like add neon light effects?
I guess I don't know.
Interior.
Yeah. Look, like, get yourself a mini fridge. Yeah. And like,
exhibit bus into your house, and he's like, I'm here to pimp your condom.
Oh my god. If you are interested in using that data at all, or there are a couple of other data sources for this, but you can go to myonecondoms.com. My One is a brand.
My O-N-E?
Yep. But they have 10 different lengths and 9 different widths, so they have 90 different sizes of condom, and they will introduce you to your size code, where you put in the length and girth of your penis, and they will give you a code, and that code is like, in, at least according to their methodology, the perfect condom for you.
Hmm. And then you can get them, it sounds like, delivered rather than having to go to the store and be like, hi, I'm going to fuck tonight.
Yep, absolutely. And they say that your size code is always a secret to them. They will protect your size code.
To the death, it
to
says.
To the death.
They will murder anyone trying to access your size code.
They also say that they are the first and only condoms FDA approved for anal.
Oh,
I don't know if that's true or just their marketing department, but it's on their website.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's condom size, Kyle.
Well, do you want me to talk about tips?
Sure.
Let's
talk about the tips. All of the tips.
So many tips.
Oh, wait. Before that, in Patreon, I'm going to tell you some jokes.
Okay.
But I'm also going to talk to you about the totally failed experiment that was spray-on condoms.
I feel like I would have some thoughts on why that might have failed from the jump. Like, I feel like I already have some suggestions on that kind of creative idea.
We're going to find out.
Okay. Okay.
Tips.
I'm going to tell you.
Just the tips.
Yep. I found this information on Pink News in a 2018 article by Danny Polaris.
I heart that site.
First of all, I just copied down throughout the course of the article anytime they gave a suggestion or sure. even asked a question, just what they were. So we can go through them in order. Having condoms available shows to someone that you are active in your sexual health.
Oh, yeah. Having a bunch of condoms around your place shows people you don't actually need them.
I didn't think this. I don't know. I don't know how I felt about this one. I think it's one way to signal to people that you are active in your own sexual health, but like, I don't know.
I mean, I whipped out a bunch of condoms that we're going to play with on the Patreon segment, and like, I don't know. What did that say to you?
That, I don't know, that you have condoms available, which that's great.
Yeah.
That's
all it says, I think. You have them.
No, I mean, I think you may be more likely, if you have condoms around, you're probably more likely to use condoms, I would guess. Than if you don't have condoms sitting around.
That's true. They have to be there to be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have to be there for you to use them. So I think it does say something. I think there are lots of ways to signal your sexual health. They also had like, you know, make sure you have some in your nightstand and in your wallet and in this thing. And it's like,
not in your wallet. That will ruin them.
Will it?
Yeah.
Oh, how?
It's because you're sitting on it and mashing it around and like, like, so
I thought they should be able to take a little bit of beating.
Well, yeah, I think the big thing there is that they like will wear out faster.
Interesting.
I don't actually know if that's true. Fuck, now I got to look it up, Kyle.
Okay.
Son of a bitch. Is it bad to put condoms in your wallet? Not socially. I mean, medically, you whores. The short and sweet answer to the question is that what you've heard is true. A condom stored in a wallet may be damaged by lots of action.
Now we got to put on the Danity Kane song Damaged onto the playlist.
Yeah, we do. Don't know
my condom's damaged. So damaged.
Don't
thought that I should let you know
it. Don't put it in a wallet.
Okay. And I also think the idea of like have like, let's just say in your pocket, like ready to go. I don't know. I think because more people are having sex through apps, you kind of already know what the deal is before you get there. That, I think that was my biggest reaction to like,
yeah,
if they have condoms around, that means they're active in their sexual health. It's like, I don't even know. Like, we talk about all this. It's on your profile and you have conversations about this before you even get there. So I think more of this is happening up front and your profiles have this indication.
I'm with you. Yeah.
So apparently ribbed and studded condoms are designed to give an extra level of sensation to vaginas.
Yeah.
So if you're using them with a cis male partner for anal, then there might not be a point in having anything fancy.
Yeah. I've literally never gotten anything out of a condom that had any kind of gimmick associated with it.
Have you tried?
Yeah.
What, like what kind?
I was married to a lady. Forget that maybe.
No. I was encouraging you to tell me about it.
Like ribbabid.
Yeah.
It's the same for me.
Did she prefer those?
No. It's more of a novelty than anything. It's like, oh, we're doing something naughty because this one has ribs.
Oh,
like,
let's go crazy. Yeah. Let's get ribs tonight.
And we were together for so long too that like we usually didn't use them at all. It was mostly when she was on her period. Anyway,
so even that's interesting. Even with a female partner, you would mostly use like picking the right time of the month to have sex instead of condoms.
What was your
you know pregnancy prevention?
Oh,
repertoire.
She was on birth control.
Birth control.
The pill, and so that was. That was the method. Especially after we were like together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, mostly condoms were for like preventing a mess.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Does it feel like you're getting a little bit more cagey around talking about your sexual, things you do sexually with your ex-wife or not?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'll talk about it. I know. I'm mostly worried about talking about periods because I know that's not a thing that gay guys usually chat about.
Yeah, but I think all cis men should be more open to talking about periods more often because I think it's something we're shielded from and then we don't know. Like, I have twice sat in on a group of cis women talking about their periods and two times it was maybe 15 minute conversations that apologize that I was sitting there. It's like, no, like I learned so much about periods and just what it's like to have them. I think we like shield men from this concept that they have periods and that it sucks and they're the ones responsible for taking birth control and that does things to their body that we just accept as normal.
You know,
like I think there's a lot that we just pretend like men don't have to know. So I think it's good to talk about.
And not to mention, I'm going to mention it. The whole periods are gross and disgusting. And that's built on misogyny.
Yeah.
It's the exact same misogyny that says that, you're a gold star gay because you haven't had sex with a vagina. Yes. Congratulations.
Yes.
Dick face.
This was like, for sure. We haven't talked about it in a while, but this was for sure something I did when I first came out of like pretending like I thought, vaginas are gross.
Yeah.
And in addition to being like transphobic, that's also misogynistic. Like there's a lot of issues that come along with that, and I've stopped doing that.
Yeah. Well, if you don't want to hear this, then too bad. Part of the thing with wearing a condom when she was on her period is that it felt different. Like there's stuff coming out of there because she's on her period, and it's kind of gritty. It feels like on your dick, it feels gritty. Like there's It just does. And that's not always super pleasant. So adding a barrier there would help that difference in sensation. But then there's also like, sometimes you want to bang and not have to take a shower immediately right after. And like, but if you got like blood and mucus all over your dick, then you got to jump in the shower. So like, that's an easy peasy way to just like not make a mess.
So. Interesting. I don't think about condom use for like that purpose. I mean, gay people like that is a possibility too. Like,
yeah, for sure.
As much, you know,
been there.
Yeah. So it might be nice just as a preventative measure, just because you never know. Sometimes, what did that guy say?
Sometimes it comes with a Hershey kiss.
Sometimes there's a little Hershey kiss.
No.
More tips. Bottoms. If you have a lot of different sexual partners, keep a variety of different sizes.
Yeah.
That seems smart.
Yeah, seems smart. I will say, okay, when as a bottom, if the condom doesn't fit right and it like crumples up, so there's like wrinkles in it, I don't like the feeling of that. That feels really bad and gross to me. Like,
Yeah, I would imagine.
Great.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's, okay, so it's also partial. But then, okay, this is going to sound judgy and I don't want it to. Like if you're a bottom and you're like, pick a size, any size. Like if you show up, doesn't that make you seem slutty?
Oh,
I know. I shouldn't be using that kind of judgment. It should show a positive.
I think it shows that you're responsibly slutty.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That would be one of my I mean, compared to what I do, which is not use a condom, like that's the sluttiest thing you could do. So like, I don't know why I'm judging like, hey, here's all my different varieties of condoms. You're right. It shows that you're responsible. But I think that could be a fear that someone has of like, if I have too many options, then it makes it look like I'm having sex every day and night when there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. What if you could have like all your different size condoms, but like on a keychain so that you could just like flip them over until you find the right one,
like a fabric swatches that you're like, do we want the light pink, do we want the teal, do we want the charcuterie? That's another color.
Chartreuse.
Yeah. I almost said charcuterie, which is where I got trapped in the middle of that word. Latex is most common. It is possible to be allergic to latex, probably less so than is stated, but there are alternatives like polyurethane and polyisoprene.
One of those is basically latex with different proteins in it so that it doesn't cause the allergic reaction.
Feels just like latex.
When
using lube with condoms, water or silicone are the most common. Don't use anything that has oil in it, like lotion, Vaseline, or oil-based lubes with your latex condoms. Oil can damage latex and make them break. You can generally use oil-based condoms with non-latex plastic condoms.
Great.
And what kind of lube do you usually use?
Whatever.
You don't have a preference?
Water-based lube. I use water-based lube for the most part, mostly because I find a couple of things. First is that like it cleans out of stuff better. So if it gets on your sheets or your clothes or whatever, it's okay. Silicone lube does like stains, like it's there forever. And that bothers me. I also think like silicone lasts longer, but it isn't as like, I don't know, slippery. I don't know.
I see silicone as being more slippery. I like silicone better. Like water, it just seems like you have to keep reapplying and reapplying it.
Yeah.
Which seems like a lot.
Gives you an excuse to take a break.
Oh. Oh, okay. I guess so. It says water-based lubes dry up quickly, so there is a risk. You have to make sure you're reapplying if that's the case, because otherwise you would risk the condom breaking. Make sure they're not expired.
Yeah.
Most
like these.
Well, but you all said that, and what I saw online is that most latex and polyurethane condoms will have an expiration date of about 5 years past the manufacture date. So that they last longer than I expected. I thought like, oh, a year or something. But so maybe the condoms aren't expired. Whose responsibility is it to bring the condoms?
Everyone.
Yeah, right. Usually it's like Is it the tops because they're the ones, like, because it's the penetrative person? Is it the bottoms because they're the one at more risk?
I have heard, like, it said that, like, it's the top's job to decide what lube because, like, the bottom doesn't care. And I disagree with that.
Huh.
But that's something that I have heard.
Oh, lube for me is just something that, like, everyone has. Mm. Like, every gay person just has lube.
Mm. I don't know. Yes, I do.
I just thought that one was most common, and then it's like the question is like, gotta see, like, do they have condoms? Do they have poppers? Do they have, like, other toys that you may want to use? Like, that, those are the question marks. But I thought the lube was pretty common.
What if we say it's whoever's hosting? That's whose job it is.
Mm. I like that
because you're already there.
Although I do I don't know. Yeah, I like that idea. The host, like, you can just pull out your array of sex things,
yeah,
and then
your color swatches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I get the idea of, like, bottoms have to do more work to prep, so yeah, like, then the top is bringing the gear. I don't know.
Yeah.
I also like, this is another part that doesn't come up because, like, I just talk about it in advance. So if someone's like, I only use condoms, like, okay, cool. Do you have them then? Because I certainly don't. So I think that's something these days you can negotiate more easily up front. And lastly, if you have problems with premature ejaculation, condoms can make you last longer because they decrease sensitivity.
Boy, howdy.
That's not the ringing endorsement of condoms that you would want it to be, but that's at least one suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, it's
why you may use them.
It's for sure a serious thing for a lot of dudes. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, that can absolutely help.
Yeah. What other advice do you have for condom use?
No. I don't know. I did have this thought. I don't want to talk about that. Okay. I don't really have a lot of tips. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think I should be using condoms more.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I tend to focus. I know that because of my prep, I'm very likely covered for HIV.
Yep.
I feel like I've gotten the host of STIs you can. So chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, like that's happened. And I still kind of take that risk.
Yep.
I've gotten syphilis. So now every STI test shows that it's like your whatever number stay above a certain rate. So it looks like it's positive every time. So it has to be a thing every time. I'm like, I've gotten syphilis in the past. So here's like, so syphilis is a bigger thing. You have to get like a couple shots in the butt and that sucks.
Yep.
Titration.
Your titrates are still there.
Titrates. Mm-hmm. But there are other things that you can get through this. I mean, like, everyone has HPV.
Yeah.
So that's seems like a bit of a wash, but like herpes, you can get other things.
Yep. Yep.
Through this that I'm just kind of, I think, ignoring.
Yep.
I think I'm just pretending that's not there or something. That risk isn't there, or I haven't run into it yet. So
yeah.
I don't know. I should probably be using condoms more, especially if I'm in like a slutty mode.
Well, and do you actively dislike them?
Yeah, because like I want it in my butt.
Uh-huh.
I think that's hot.
Yeah.
And so without it.
You mean the load?
The load. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not the condom.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the condom is a specific barrier to me getting what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I think part of what has driven that as a fantasy has been porn.
Yeah.
Like porn, especially when like kind of the mainstream like porn sites, like they made these big announcements when they like, we go condom free now. Yeah. Like
bareback is happening with this special one because every other one, we have condoms in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a fairly recent thing. Fairly recent change in the grand history of porn. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem like in the past 5 years, like a lot of major studios have moved over to not using condoms and when they do, it's often tried to like hide it. Like you put your hand around where the base of it is to try to hide the little ring there.
Yep.
Like, I feel like they often try to hide that they're using condoms even when they are, because they know that people don't want that kind of porn.
Yeah.
I've even like watched porn with like a hookup or whatever. And like, anytime we find someone with a condom, we're like, next. Like it's, I don't know. You can't blame I know all the information and still choosing to. So it's not, you know, I know that I'm responsible for that decision. And also I've seen this commonly in porn. That
yeah.
Does it feel that way for you too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That it used to be just as you said that like the bareback or raw dog porn would be like a special occasion kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And now I don't remember the last time I saw a condom in porn.
Yeah.
Like the last 4 or 5 years feels about right. Everyone has gone to the default is no condoms.
Yeah.
Sean Cody certainly did.
Yeah.
And others.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that makes you wonder like what's the impact then on condom usage, right? Yeah. Like if,
for sure.
Is it about seeing condoms normalizes them and then makes you more likely to use them? I don't know.
Well, I think that's might be why we think that no gay uses condoms is because
right.
What do you have to measure against? If you talk to your friends about it, that's one way, but not everyone does. So yeah. Like what you see in porn is kind of the other option.
Yeah.
Like how often are you comparing notes with your friends about whether you use condoms yeah. or for us, it's often just a joke like,
yeah.
Won't use condoms like that. And then that's kind of it. So like the message you're getting from porn and from jokes within gay circles is that no one uses condoms. So yeah. I could see why that could then influence you to think like, oh, well, no one's using condoms. So either that I feel better about it or I feel safer. It's more normalized. Like I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah. 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 Interesting.
I'll say like, I think I struggle not just with condoms, but in any kind of sexual situation with being assertive enough to like I'm fortunate on the condom side that like I am not trying to use a condom. So I'm not trying to assert a boundary or anything.
Yeah.
And a part of me wonders if that's also because that would then be another thing that I'd have to like bring up front or assert when someone comes over, and I'm really bad at doing that. So pick anything else. And I'm really bad at like asserting boundaries or things that I like or don't like. And, I don't know. I'm especially it's easier to do over like a text or in an app when I can, like, I can end the conversation immediately whenever I want.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a little bit more control and, you know, distance so I can assert myself, but I don't feel comfortable. I'm really bad at asserting myself in person with someone else.
Yeah.
At like a boundary or thing I don't want.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's humans humaning though, right? There's a weird pressure to it and that's difficult to navigate.
Have you like had to assert, like, how are you at asserting boundaries or things?
Terrible, yeah. But getting better. I think mostly because like I'm really, I'm not demisexual, Kyle, but typically like to save anal for like a repeat encounter. I've gotten to the point now where I will assert like that's a next time thing.
Are people receptive of that?
Mostly. Yeah. Seem to be. I don't know. I think, my focus on like connection as part of sex is like lends itself to that conversation better than like what I picture in my head is like the standard anonymous hookups kind of a situation where like there is no conversation. There's no talking about it. It's just like you show up and you bang and you leave kind of a thing. So I don't know. The thing I wasn't going to talk about earlier and now I'm going to, and you'll understand why I'm nervous about it in just a second. Is the last 4 partners that I had that insisted on condom use, 3 of them were trans dudes. And it seems like every time I've hooked up with a trans guy, condoms have been part of the scenario. And that's just because their sexual health reasons are different than cis dudes. And, I've noticed that I have noticed that like if I'm going to hook up with a trans guy, it's likely a condom is going to be involved, and like just know that that's a thing and bring one and you know whatever. So I was hesitating to want to talk about it for 2 reasons. One is I don't want to speak for like all trans dudes, mm-hmm. but like my personal sample size is what shows that. So, but then the other thing is I've gotten into a couple of scraps online with people that like say that because I hook up with trans guys, I must be bisexual, and I don't want to invite that conversation again. I'm not. I don't identify that way. Shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah. And also, it's very transphobic to say that hooking up with hooking up with a man does not make you bisexual.
Right.
Hooking up with men makes you gay.
That's right.
And trans men are men.
That's right. So if that's what you think, first, grow up. Second, like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, don't bring that up. That makes sense. I think the last thing I would say is condom use is also, like, this is, I talked about, like, being able to assert yourself and when this comes up. So luckily this doesn't come up with me, but I see other people, like, I'll see posts on Reddit when talking about, like, Ask Gay Men, and someone will be like, I asked the partner to use a condom and he didn't, or I thought we were using condom, we didn't. And, like, that's sexual assault. If,
yeah.
Like, that is a, like, if you are placing a boundary on something or a rule, whatever one it's called, like, if you are saying, this is what I only will have sex with a condom, and someone intentionally misleads, tricks, does something to have sex without one.
Yep.
Like, that is, you can define it for yourself what you want. That could be bad sex for you. That could be, you know, whatever, but, like, that is also sexual assault.
Yep. It is. It absolutely is.
I think more people need to realize that mostly because, like, some people will, I think, dismiss that as just like, oh, bad behavior, or like, oh, I don't know, like, how much should I care about this, or like, kind of let someone off the hook.
Yeah.
When they really shouldn't. That's a really shitty thing to be told directly what someone is not, is off the table, and then someone doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the,
yeah, the very definition. Very violating. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, and if, yeah, if anyone's gone through that really sucks, and that is, you don't deserve that. You should have people who respect what your boundaries are without having to push for them, or, you know, have to deal with any of that. So, yeah. I think that's really important when it comes to condom use, that if you are good at using them, and if you are good at asserting yourself, you deserve to have that respected.
Absolutely. Now, did we do it?
Oh, yeah.
We did stuff.
We did stuff. Yeah. Like me with men, we did stuff.
Oh, well lubricated. Okay. So, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Oh, so are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first,
Buy your tickets.
We're going to be in New York, like, day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
You dick bags.
Very soon.
Oh, dick bags.
Aww.
Condoms.
You scumbags.
Yeah.
Affectionate.
Yeah.
We are also going to be in Seattle on June 23rd, Chicago on July 29th, San Francisco on August 13th, LA on September 10th, and Houston on October 15th. So take a look at tickets at gayishpodcast.com/live and come see us.
Yeah, we would love to see you, except if you're dumb. Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on Instagram at Gayish Podcast. We also have a Discord, a Facebook group, Spaces. Get all that info at gayishpodcast.com/contact.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Yeah, leave us voicemails. We love them, especially if they're your gayest or straightest, or if they're a question for Ma Johnson from Mom's Planning.
Yeah.
We have an email, gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109.
I almost just started singing local gay bar review.
Oh, we can do that.
Okay, I didn't know if you actually had one, but I just, that jingle jumped into my head.
Local gay bar review. Okay, I want to talk to you about a place that we also went together, which is Somewhere Bar in Garden City, Idaho, near Boise.
Yeah.
We went there.
Yeah, we went a couple times.
There was, right at the door, there was a person selling homemade jock straps.
Yes.
And that's when I knew that we'd arrived home.
Yeah.
It was karaoke. We did karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
A boy from Grindr came there to meet with me.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I really liked it. I think that, like, if I lived in the Boise area, that would be my bar as opposed to the balcony.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think it has a little bit more, like, these days my bar of preference are, like, a little bit more low key, like, not so much like you go to see and be seen, like, a little bit chiller vibe, places where you can just go and sit down and hang out if you want to. There are some pool tables there.
Yeah.
Like you said, they had karaoke. There's
visible, like, lesbians.
Yeah. People of, like, different varieties. I really enjoyed that place too.
Yeah, four dildos.
Ooh. Yeah, I agree.
Great. Now gayest and straightest?
Yeah, sure.
Great. Gayest and straightest. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. The straightest thing about me this week, I had condoms, which I know that your research apparently says that I'm incorrect about that, but I did.
We're talking stereotypes, so you know, it fits.
Yeah. Having condoms at the ready, available for playing with on camera. straightest. The gayest thing about me this week is I am attending a fundraising gala coming up, and look at these gay ass shoes. I bought these gay ass shoes, Kyle.
Ooh, so sparkly.
They are rhinestone shoes.
I love these.
Caviar rhinestone shoes from Steve Madden.
These are so cute.
A friend of mine at work is involved in this organization called Plymouth Housing, and they work on like the horrible housing shortage that is the greater Seattle area. But their annual fundraising event is called Pop Some Tops. So I'm going.
You're going as a top.
I mean, I'm going as the token gay of this like table of straight people. And the theme this year is interstellar discotheque. That's Ooh. Why I decided to go for those shoes. I also got a blue sequin tuxedo jacket.
Wow.
That I'm excited to show you next time for my gayest.
Yeah.
How about you, Kyle?
My gayest is, I got the coveted double, like the boyfriend's checking me out. It was very clear, like I was walking way across the street. These dudes were walking away from me. They seemed to be together. One of them looked over, checked me out, looked back, said something to the other guy. The other guy looked over, checked me out. And so I was like,
nice.
You're definitely checking me out. And I felt so validated.
Well done.
Yeah.
Good work, girl.
The straightest is the exact opposite happened when all the like hot shirtless runners are going by.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, bending over or giving sultry looks or just batting my eyelashes. None of them gave a shit about me, so they must have been straight if they didn't care.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, also, like, I don't know. If one way to make me not horny is to have like go run. Like they're busy. They're doing other shit.
Yeah, it could just be that they're in the middle of running but they're like running shirtless, so they're clearly like
on the prowl.
I don't know. They want a little bit of attention.
They're inviting the gays.
They're inviting the gays a little bit.
All right.
But a listener's gayest and straightest this time comes from our spaces. So
spaces.
So you can go to spaces and we have a bunch of different spaces within our space. I don't know how they're called. But anyway, in our main space, I asked for gayest and straightest. And this one is from Brett Straightest. I rebuilt the ramp to my tool shed.
Ooh.
Wow. Impressive. Yeah. And gayest, I celebrated my third anniversary of being married to another dude.
Aww.
Happy 3-year anniversary, Brett.
Happy anniversary, Mose.
Yeah, that's so sweet. So I think that is it.
That's it. This has been Gayish. Buy your fucking tickets, you dickbags.
Buy them, please. Lovely, lovely humans.
And see you in New York in a couple of days.
Thank you to all the people who wear condoms. Good for you.
Yeah,
okay. And thank you to our super gap bridgers, who I'm sure all use condoms. Andrew Bugby, Christopher M, John Crowley, Stephen Porch, Yo Stossel, Harry Shaw, Josh Copeland, Jonathan Montañez, Wadu, Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, James Barrow, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Michael Covington, Just Jamie, Kevin Henderson, Thomas B, Timothy Sora, Dusty Sands, A.E. Coleman, Chris Cacciatorians, and Jerome York.
That is it. This has been Gayish from the Chris Cacciatorian Studios. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
See you in New York.
See you in New York.
That plane. Where's it going? Do you think it's going for condoms?
So close. Condom run.